All right, we are back. My name is Joshua Stamper. I have the wonderful Charlie Peck with me. And Charlie, I just want to mention real quick, I wanted to say thank you to the listeners because last month we got the highest amount of listenership that this podcast has ever received. So I just wanted to say thank you to the folks that are listening, that are sharing this episode or our podcast out with others. And it was just really fun to see that number grow each month.
It's so true. It truly, people are needing this information, but they could get it in so many different places. So Josh, I am so glad that people choose to be here and support us. And you know, there's just so much that we can all be doing. So I do appreciate that too. Thanks for starting.
Yeah. Of course. So we are coming to the episode, and as a thank you to our many listeners and the folks that are following us in our newsletter or on social media, we wanted to always provide support and content for you, not only just in this podcast, but we also have a free Student Behavior Summit, which is going to be hosted on April 30th. Charlie and I will be the MC, but we're also going to be closing out the night with our own session. So Charlie, we have I think 8, 9, 10 different folks that are going to be with us that are absolutely amazing. And we're going to talk more about this event by answering a question that actually came from this last conference we were at, because me and you had the opportunity to do the language of behavior as a session. Afterwards, someone was asking, they're seeing student behavior issues, especially in the spring, and they were asking about how to address the system as a whole. So do you want to talk about your first thoughts about the question? Or do you want to talk about the Behavior Summit? How do you want to go about this?
Let's address the question, because I think people are like, okay, I need information.
Yeah.
The question, you and I hear this question all the time, all the time. And when we were at NCMLE, people were asking this a lot. So I'm glad it was asked. What I see is that we have these high demand environments and we have so much dysregulation. It really comes down to that. It's not that people are trying to be difficult. The chaos isn't primarily caused by difficult people. I'm not saying they're not there. People listening are like, I know some difficult people. Yes, you do. But in this industry and in any kind of industry that we're working with, people typically don't want to cause trouble. People typically want to do well. And so it's the mishmash of it all. There's so much demand. There's an overloaded system. And then we are trying to engage in it. And then we're trying to go home and have this good, happy life. But we're full of a lot of complaints because it's like, it's just so much. So that's what I'm seeing it is. It's a bigger picture. So there's a lot of dysregulated humans in the system who were never trained to function under sustained pressure. That's how I see it. How do you see it?
Well, I think when we were talking through it in our session, we talked about just the traditional system, and it's based on compliance, it's based on fear, and it's also one where we also have insufficient resources. So for instance, a lot of the things that we're talking about is, you know, more about like emotional regulation and emotional intelligence. We talk about all these things that we need to teach our students. We also need to do the work as an individual, as a human being. And a lot of times this does take effort. It takes energy. It takes time. And a lot of those things we don't have as a classroom teacher. And then you talk about a counselor, you talk about fill in the blank, right? An administrator. Well, all these folks feel like, I just need more. I need more people on the campus to do this work. I need more time. I need fill in the blank, because I think a lot of folks understand that this is important. Our students need it. But at the same time, how are we going to make that happen on the campus as far as a system?
Yeah. And more isn't the answer. We actually know. And I know that that's not what you're saying. I know you're not. I know that's not the answer. And that's the problem, is that sometimes I notice that leadership tends to throw more, and not always, but I think that's coming from the top, right? And whether you're a superintendent who's got to answer to the state, or your principal has to answer to the district leaders and the superintendent, I mean, there's pressure from everywhere. Mm-hmm. The good news is this. Because you're in a position of leadership, whether that's of your classroom or of your school or your district of your state, you get to make decisions. People have trusted you to make decisions of priority here. And so when we're working in a flooded system, we need to understand that we have to determine what's in front of us. That is part of that skill as a leader. That's what I believe. And so when it's overloaded and you're seeing reactivity, we have to stabilize the system. We've got to stabilize it before we can do anything else. That's where the priority starts. And I believe we are lacking capacity to do that, or we're lacking permission to do that. So you've been in that role of an administrator in a chaotic system. What are your thoughts about that?
I think first off, I had to, as a leader, push back on what you just said, because I think a lot of folks felt like, okay, there's something that's already created and that was created before me. So they were going on something that was already constructed as far as, let's say it's a behavior matrix, right? So it's a lot of adults in education want to make sure that they're doing the right thing. And so they're going to be compliant with what's been constructed. And for me coming in, I was saying, okay, yes, this is built as a very put a child in a box system. Not everything falls in this. We have to be creative, to your point, and we have to make sure that we're doing what's best to hit all of those components that we talk about in our session, right? As far as, you know, having the child take ownership of their actions and the teach piece that goes with that and the restoration of what was broken. And then, of course, the consequence that's related to the action, right? So all those pieces is lacking in the system that was created before. So we had to deconstruct that. And it made a lot of folks uncomfortable because that was like a security blanket. I have something that's concrete. I can look at every time A plus B equals C in their mind based on the matrix that they had. And for us, we were like, it's not working. Look at the data. Our infractions are going up. The data is showing that we're having repeat offenders with the exact same thing. So why are we beating our heads against concrete, essentially, to continuously do the same thing that obviously is not working? And once we kind of framed it that way, and Charlie, as you know, this takes a long time. This is a long systematic change that by year three, majority of the people understood. They had new tactics that we were able to provide them. There was a new system as far as like how we worked with our students after they made poor decisions. And then that's when we started to see folks change as far as their demeanor. They had more hope. They felt more in line with like, okay, I feel comfortable in the situation where I do now have the tools versus before where they just were reactive and usually it was an emotional response. And then also, they also felt like they had some proactive skills, right? You talk about this all the time. We did a lot of it in our session as far as what are some things that we can do to regulate our students so that we don't even have to react. We have built a system that is helping the students' needs and understand their emotions. And when they're starting to feel amplified, they're able to de-escalate themselves, you know, all those things to be proactive that none of our teachers, for the most part, had. And so I think there's a lot of pieces that we talk about in our session. There's a lot of things that we're going to talk about in our Student Behavior Summit that are going to give some folks that hope that they're probably not feeling right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that too, because we will address that. That's exactly what we are doing. And it's interesting because I'm licensed in Kentucky, Ohio, and South Carolina. And you know, I've done this work systemically. Like we've worked with large organizations, smaller organizations. And even on the individual level, when I'm doing my therapy sessions, it is still the same problem over and over again. And it's the lack of either awareness or the skill in the reactivity is what shows up as a result. And that's because we just need to learn to do it and have permission to do it. It integrates into everything that we can do, but the patterns are there. So that automatic reactivity replaces the skilled response if we're not taught it. So that's what you and I do. That's what I'm excited about, is the skills that we're using to replace that reactivity. The reactive system is the problem. The reactive system is prevalent. There's a clear pattern to that. It shows up as staff conflict, student behavior escalation, family frustration, leadership's kind of like teams kind of just keep doing the same things over and over. Like you said, that they're not working, but we still fall back on it because we don't know what else to do. And then we get turnover and burnout and all that. And then we throw that system into dysregulation, which then amplifies all of those problems. So that's what you and I keep seeing over and over. So yeah, so what do we do about it? Well, we build response capacity inside the system. And that's the work that we're doing, which does lead to that behavior summit, because every single speaker we have there is going to address that.
Oh, for sure. So do you want to talk about the summit? Because this is something that me and you have partnered with for a couple of years now, where we try to do things in the fall and the spring, because obviously folks are needing this information specifically during those times. And we've typically had anywhere between 8 and 20 guests. I mean, we've had some that are 2-day events. This one will be one evening. And I'm super excited by, you know, the folks that are going to be showing up. And we also, like I said, MC it, and it's going to be more of a conversation, but these folks have a ton of strategies where this year we're looking at more of a systematic response versus individual to an adult to a student.
That's right. And that's why we chose the speakers we did. So first of all, if you'd like to register, this is going to get you access to the summit. Just go to thrivingeducator.org/summit. That's it. And I think you have the link for that or can put that up. thrivingeducator.org/summit and then register. It's totally free. Share this with everybody you know who could benefit because we want people to get in here. We don't throw things at you like now you have to pay for something. No, we want it to be free so that you can access this information. And all of our speakers have a high level experience with these problems. We've got Mimosa Jones Tunney. You guys need to go check out her work. Look her up online. If you go to thrivingeducator.org/schedule, you'll see all these people here. We've got Dr. Stephen Bean. He is a superintendent in Orange County. He's got an incredible story and an incredible lens. The work Mimosa is doing is incredible. We've got Dr. Darren Pepperback. We've got Dr. Kim Caswell, Dr. Julie Hassan. We've got Dr. Christopher Culver. Dwight Carter's going to be here again. And we've got David Spellman, which I haven't heard him yet, but I know he's phenomenal because I've seen his work. I've seen what you've passed through and I can't wait to hear him. And then you and I are going to wrap it up, but we're giving you tangible tools and strategies that you can immediately use and integrate into your current systems.
Yeah, David's awesome. When we were at North Carolina, I got a chance to have coffee with him and got to learn more about his work. He's also been on my other podcast, Aspire to Lead. So if you're looking for some information in regards to him, he's amazing, doing some phenomenal work around this country. But that's how all our guests are. They're just killing it. And not only super supportive, but I would say super giving too, as far as their time, their resources, and just a ton of great information. So I'm very excited for the folks that we have for this summit. I threw the link up. Of course, we'll have it in the show notes for people too, because we want everyone to be able to join us for free. It doesn't cost you a dime. All it takes is, you know, a couple hours of your time to learn from some fantastic folks. So Charlie, is there anything else you want to say about the summit before we jump into our next segment?
Just get in there and register, you all, because we do replays and we give a ton of free resources too. So get in there, thrivingeducator.org/summit.
Yeah. And we do some giveaways too. So we'll give away some of our books during the summit. So if you like free resources, that'll just give you a little nugget there to jump in and sign up. So with that, we'll jump into our next segment, Behind the Banner. Great. All right. Based on our numbers, it looks like we got some new listeners. So Behind the Banter is a segment where we are talking about us as individuals behind the mic and get to know us a little bit more. Typically, I like to throw Charlie off by these questions because we go all over the place. This one is, Charlie, what is the worst job you ever had before finding your way into education?
Wow. The worst job.
Worst job.
Well, my first job was... it was okay to start, but then there were some interesting people there. I served a lot of ice cream and there was some food there too. So I won't say the name of the place, but it got pretty interesting because of some people that were interesting. I can't say more because they're still around. I'm going to say that. And I wasn't mature enough to handle it. Let me say that. I was 14. I worked at 14. Yeah. So that was my worst.
There's a lot to unpack there, Charlie. I don't know if we have time for it, but 14. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty early.
Yeah. I just wanted to work.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I mean, you're a go-getter, so I can see that.
Well, I don't know if my employer at the time would have said I'm a go-getter at that point, but yeah.
Well, early childhood Charlie versus now Charlie, or teenager Charlie might be different.
Let me just say, I was exposed to way too many adult things in that role as a 14-year-old. How about you? How about your job?
Well, right after college, I couldn't find work. And so I was trying to survive. And the economy was horrible at the time. I did door-to-door sales for 3 weeks until I could find another job. And I will say that I did well, but I absolutely hated it, like with a passion.
Sell? Sorry, I interrupted. What were you going to say?
It was typically cards, like coupon cards that you would get for a business. So for instance, the one that was the easiest to sell was for oil changes.
Right.
So it was a company that was nearby. It was, you know, you get $20 for the card, and but the savings from the card would be like $100.
Right.
If they used it.
It's honorable.
Yeah.
I've done those before.
Right. So, you know, you walk 20 miles a day through neighborhoods knocking on doors. So, I mean, there's probably skills that I learned from that experience based on the work that we do now. However, it was miserable. And I think it was a little shady based on how I was paid. So I didn't get a good vibe from the whole situation.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's hilarious.
All right. So Charlie, how do you want to wrap this episode up since we talked about the Free Student Behavior Summit, but then also about some of the chaos and the systems that need to be addressed?
Well, I want to tease out something that we're working on and building that response capacity inside the system. I want people to think about it like this. It doesn't have to be big, you guys. It's got to be incremental changes that happen with the people that you already have there. The people are already in place in your system who know your initiatives, who know your goals, who already are working there, who love kids most of the time, 99% of the time. And so we need to build capacity there, but based on response rather than the reactivity. So you and I are working on something that we're going to put that out there. But
it's hard not to say anything right now, but it's very exciting. So keep tuning in as we put some breadcrumbs out there for you as we're trying to have some more support. But yes, I think, Charlie, I would agree that everything that we're talking about in our book, in the times that we present or work with school districts, is never about, like you said, adding more to the plate. It's about what you have on your campus. It's about amplifying the resources that you currently have, because I think every system that we've worked with, we felt like, okay, all the pieces are here. It's just a matter of maximizing it and using it maybe in a different way. So super excited for what we're about to tease out and to see everyone at the Free Student Behavior Summit. And again, that's April 30th. The link's in the show notes, and we can't wait to see you very, very soon.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.